Okay, man, I hope you're doing well. Last week we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 15. As you recall, Saul was having some issues with God and it's not working out well for him. Now we're in chapter 16 and God is looking for a new king. By way of Samuel, by the way. So Samuel is going to find the next king of Israel, namely that of David, the eighth son of Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem. So you start out with chapter 16. This first verse here says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?'" So here you have a man who's just fallen from grace. His willful rejection of what is asked of him as a king, his arrogance, has put him in a position to where he is now slowly but surely falling from grace, and he is, as an apostate would, rejecting willfully what God has to say and not owning for himself what exactly it is he's doing from the standpoint of rejecting. So Samuel's asked this question. It's kind of strange, but it's a cool question. How long will you mourn? How long will you mourn for Saul? So here's a question for you. What is mourning, and does mourning actually take place in your life? Let me explain. When we lose things in life or lose people in life, we go through a period of mourning. It doesn't have to be a loved one. Of course, we're going to mourn a loved one, a loss of a loved one. But have you ever lost a career? Have you ever lost a dream? Have you ever lost an opportunity? You ever lost a large sum of money? You ever lost a spouse to divorce? There's a process of mourning that I think we need to acknowledge. And the mourning has its purpose. There's five stages of mourning, the first of which is this one of denial, where we tend to want to isolate. So maybe you've been through that before. These stages don't happen in the same order every time, but many of us experience these things when we lose something. Denial and isolation. The second one is this bargaining. Sometimes we'll bargain with God how not to lose something or how to recover something. It doesn't usually work, by the way. Denial, isolation is the first one. Bargaining is the second. Then we go through this period sometimes of depression, a downtrodden heart, sort of almost like a giving up. We go through periods of anger, and all of these things sometimes are mixed together. I don't know what you've lost in your life, but the question is, how long will you mourn? There's a purpose to mourning. Mourning is actually a way of God bringing comfort into your life. But to stay in that season of mourning forever is not what the Lord would have. And that's not what he wants for Samuel. Saul is going to be removed as king. We need to accept it. We don't need to bargain about it. We need to sort of embrace it. You might be depressed about it. You might be angry about it. But the last phase of mourning is this one of acceptance. Let's accept it. You cannot go through a financial hardship. You cannot have a business taken from you or a home foreclosed on and continually hold on to that for the rest of your life. There needs to come a time in your life, a milestone, where you say, you know what, I'm going to accept that, and now I'm going to move on. So he says, go to Samuel. He says, go fill your horn with oil. What is this? Go fill your horn with oil. There's two images I want you to, they're both the same thing. A horn of plenty, or a cornucopia. What is that? It's like a horn filled with fruit. It's a symbol of being of the harvest, but it's also a symbol of a life where favor rests, where prosperity rests, where you can actually say that you are being blessed, even blessed beyond what you even imagined originally or even asked for. This is the horn of plenty. So now what he's saying is fill that horn of favor, of prosperity, with oil representing the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, I'm going to take you to a place where when you pour that oil on a man, that man will bring about prosperity and favor. Which brings out our memory verse for the week. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Most people understand verse 5 and 6, but verse 3 and 4 are very important. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Then, he says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. He goes on to say that your vats will brim over with new wine and your barns will be filled to overfilling. The purpose here is this. If you are mature enough in your faith to receive blessings from God, you will not only receive them, but you will retain them. If, in fact, the blessings and the prosperity that you have in your life become a hindrance to your friendship with God, for a lack of maturity, those blessings, don't be surprised if they're taken from you. So if you're mourning the loss of prosperity or mourning the loss of something or someone in your life that kept you from the Lord, don't mourn it anymore. You're not going to change that. The real question is not, will you prosper me? The real question is, will you mature me? Maturity is the container for prosperity and the retainer of prosperity. I'll go on to say this. If someone wins the lottery and they lack maturity, they end up usually depressed, broke, and without friends. Lack of maturity. So are you mature enough to receive the blessings of God? If you're praying for the blessings of God, you best be coinciding that with a level of maturity that's going up in your life. Okay. So he says, fill your horn of plenty and go find the next king of Israel. So he goes to Bethlehem. And we come now to verse 7. Let's take a look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you have these 8 sons. The eldest sons are coming in, and they're these strapping, tall, leadership-looking figures, and the Lord is passing on every one of those. Of course, David is out in the field tending the sheep, the last to come in, and they all say, we will stand here until he arrives, realizing that by elimination that David is going to be the next king. He says, we'll stand here until he arrives, and they do. And then when he walks in the room, they say, rise up and anoint him. Which always baffled me. Why can you stand up until he returns and then it says rise up? This word rise means execute. It doesn't mean stand up. It means execute. Bring to pass that which God said. And in comes David, passing on the 7 sons previously. And now tending the sheep, he now comes in and he is anointed with the horn of the oil poured over him. Let's talk about that for a minute. Some of you go to different churches, you have different flavors of worship and doctrine and whatnot. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, what is that? The anointing of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was this strength, this empowerment, this endowment of power to come upon somebody represented by the oil. It's where we get the word Messiah. Messiah in Hebrew actually at its root means to take oil and rub into, to become one with. So what you have is a shepherd boy who doesn't appear to be the next king. Remember, he's short, Saul was tall. But God says, don't look at that. Look at his heart. What does his heart say? His heart says he's courageous. His heart says he has a testimony. His heart says he's compassionate and courageous at the same time. Pour that oil over him and endue him with power to do a job that God is calling him to do. By the way, God will not call you to do anything that he does not empower you to complete. He will not leave you on your own devices, in your own strength, in your own experience, in your own wisdom, to complete a task. If you're not praying for continually the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on opportunities to be fruitful, prosperous, wise, discerning, and gifted. The New Testament speaks about this subject in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I mean, you know, how many ways can I say that? Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are an endowment of specific power, talent, giftedness to perform and carry out that which needs to be done to glorify God. I want to encourage you to eagerly desire the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Study this word anointing in the Bible. Look at your New Testament and these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Look at these things that say you, though you may not look like David, the next leader, you have available to you this horn of plenty, this prosperity, and this endowment of power to carry out what God has called you to do. Now remember, this anointing came upon Saul too. But when he continued to reject what he was asked and to do the opposite of what he was asked, what happened? The Spirit of God slowly left him. And that's not a punishment. The Lord will withdraw from us in areas of our life where we need correction to help us see our dependence upon him. Gethsemane, the place of the press, Christ on the night he was betrayed and arrested, blood was coming out of his capillaries, such stress and anxiety about this cup of suffering. The place of the press was the place where they made olive oil representing the Holy Spirit. the crushing of Christ under the weight of the sin, or the idea of even going to the crucifixion and taking on the sin of the world, the pressing down upon Christ, just like an olive, produced what he had already prayed for in John 14, the Comforter. So Christ is being pressed down upon, and the oil is coming. The whole crucifixion in the Trinity is set up in such a way that the pressing down of Christ at Calvary is an opportunity for you and I to partake of the horn of oil, the Spirit of the living God. Not just on us, now New Testament, in us. You are a faithful man who is full of faith and desirous of what's in God's heart and God's will. And you have available to you the anointing of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what you look like or what you think you can do. And I'm saying to you today, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, the endowment of power, the rubbing of the Spirit on you and in your heart and in your mind, and recognize that Spirit will give you a maturity, willing and ready to receive and be a good steward of the prosperity that God has in your life, so you can retain it and not be a poor steward and waste it. You're out in the workforce, you're trying to sell a product, you're trying to build a business, you're trying to care for your employees. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to care for those people, to tend those particular sheep, to care for them and build them up, not based on your appearance, but based on what your heart is. And you are called to be a faithful priest, 1 Samuel 2 and 35. My prayer for you this week is that love and faithfulness would never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. These videos, your time in 1 Samuel, it doesn't need to be just on your mind, friend. It needs to be in your heart, written on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You ever wonder why someone in your competitor in the marketplace is outdoing you? It could be the favor of the Lord, the maturity of the Lord, and the prosperity that comes by the creativity and the ingenuity and the innovation of the Spirit of the living God. Think about that as you look through this passage of 1 Samuel 16 this week, the installing and the anointing of David to be the next king of Israel. I'll talk to you Wednesday via email, and I'll see you next Sunday via video. Have a good week.